WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, November 17th. Folks, we have a loaded show in store for you all. Of course, this morning, head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, he addressed the media on the eve of the Ohio State matchup in Columbus, Ohio. Of course, the Spartans and the Buckeyes will get it on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. on ABC. Mark D'Antonio, he addressed the media and talked about the health of his team, sort of. I'll explain that in just a sec. He'll also give us his thoughts on, of course, what he expects that his team needs to do if they want to beat the Buckeyes. So we'll give you a brief synopsis of what took place at Spartan Stadium today. We'll also be talking high school football playoffs. How about that? Of course, we have a few local teams still in the running, and that list includes the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. When aren't they included every year, right? But the head coach of the Yellow Jackets, Terry Hesbrook, will be joining me around the 1:30 mark to give us a preview of their matchup against Traverse City St. Francis this weekend as they look to move on and possibly vie for a spot at Ford Field to compete for a state championship. We'll talk with Terry about that, and also he'll give us a recap of the Langsburg win last week. We'll also have chatter on the Lions and Packers and so much more. Our phone lines are open. Call 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. But without further ado, here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Tuesday, November 17th. All right, folks, big game tonight for the MSU men's basketball team as they take on number 4 Kansas at the United Center in Chicago for the Champions Classic. Now, the game is set to tip off at 10 p.m., so again, if you got to wake up the next morning, please set your alarms. That's a late tip time for the Spartans. But just after the Duke versus Kentucky game, that's when the Spartans will get it on with the Jayhawks. Now, MSU is 6-5 against Kansas and will have to compete without big man Gavin Schilling, who is still out with a toe injury, turf toe to be exact. Now, the Spartans are looking to Deontay Davis to make an impact, who had an awesome debut last Saturday against Florida Atlantic, posting 13 points, 11 rebounds, and count them, 5 blocks. He has been great so far this year. The University of Michigan men's basketball team, they cruise to an 88-68 victory against the Elon Phoenix team on Monday night inside the Chrysler Center. The Wolverines took the lead with a little less than 8 minutes left to play in the first half, and they never trailed again. The guard duo of junior and sophomore Duncan Robinson and junior Derek Walton Jr. combined to score 43 of Michigan's 88 points. Walton Jr. led all players in each major category, contributing a career-high 24 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds. The Detroit Titans men's basketball team, they controlled their season opener against Central State last night, defeating the Marauders 88-65. Now, 1-0, the Titans' standout players were Carl Burnage with 14 points, Anton Wilson with 13 points, Jaleel Hogan with 10. Although there were positive points, Detroit had 25 turnovers and 22 fouls. Their next game is Friday night at the Pittsburgh Panthers. Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer and his players had a lot of positive things to say about the Spartans at his weekly press conference yesterday, but then there was the Buckeyes cornerback Eli Apple. Now, when asked about the big game on Saturday, his response was, quote, "There's going to be a lot of talking out there. It was like last year. They love to talk, and we love to respond back to people when they talk for sure." Apple says he plans to ignore the talk on the field. MSU sophomore lineman Malik McDowell, he earned Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week honors after the Spartans' 24-7 win against Maryland on Saturday. McDowell posted 8 tackles with 4.5 for a loss. Wow. and also forced a fumble to help the Spartans dominate the Terrapins. Now, this is the first time receiving this Big Ten honor for McDowell, which comes shortly after Shalik Calhoun's recognition after the MSU-U of M game. The Detroit Red Wings, they found some much-needed offense in a 4-3 overtime win against the Ottawa Senators at Canadian Tire Center on Monday. Thomas Tatar, he scored at the 2:04 mark of overtime after a Senators turnover in the neutral zone to give the Wings the victory. The Wings are now 9-8-1 on the year. He broke in and beat Senators goaltender Craig Anderson to the stick side. That was a really nice goal from Thomas Tatar. All right, the Detroit Pistons, they will return home tonight after a six-game West Coast road trip. They ended that road trip on a four-game losing streak, the most recent coming at the hands of Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers on Sunday. Now, the red, white, and royal blue will now welcome LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Tip time is set for 7:30 p.m. And last but not least, the Cincinnati Bengals are 8-1 right now as they fell to the Houston Texans last night, who are the final score of that game, 10-6. The Bengals were on track to join the Panthers and the Patriots in a 9-0 year, which would have set an NFL record for the franchise, with T.J. Yates running the offense for the Texans. He dominated the second half and threw for a touchdown in the third quarter to defeat the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Folks, our phone lines are now open. If you want to chime in on anything that we discuss here on the show, and we also want to get your thoughts on the big Spartans and Buckeyes game that will take place this Saturday. In a minute, we'll be listing for our Top 5 Tuesday, the top five things Michigan State must do in order to pull out a victory in Columbus. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Talking to my teammates about how everybody told us we couldn't do this. Everybody said they're 8-0, you're 3-5, there's no way you're gonna go into their building and win. Well, how y'all doing?
You told us before the game you wanted them in third down and long, and that's exactly what you did. What impact did that have?
Yeah, I mean, our goal was to come out here and make the Red Rifle look like a Red Ryder BB gun, and I think we did that.
Wow.
Tonight. I think he's a great player, there's a great team, but tonight our coaches put together a great game plan. We executed the game plan. Everybody did their job. It wasn't pretty. I mean, it's 10-6. It's not the prettiest game in the world, but that's a great football team over there, and we were able to do some big things on defense to help stop them to only two field goals.
Said that coming in here and wrecking their perfect season so far would help jumpstart yours, and now here you are sitting at the top of the AFC South.
It's pretty sweet, ain't it? It's pretty cool. I mean, it's just a team effort. All of our guys, I mean, T.J. Yates comes in here and does a heck of a job in the whole second half. It's incredible to watch what our guys can do when we believe in each other and we come out here, we play a full, complete game. So games like these are special. This is why you play the game.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And what you just heard was a soundbite, post-game soundbite, from Lisa Salters, who's a sideline reporter for ESPN's Monday Night Football, as she interviewed J.J. Watt, famed Texans defensive lineman, who, of course, the Texans, as I just stated in our headliners, the Texans, they topped the Cincinnati Bengals last night in a stunner. Really a stunner. I mean, the Bengals entered that game last night 8-0, a chance to, of course, set a record for the NFL franchise if they would have moved to 9-0, which would have put them among company of the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots as the only teams who sit at 9-0. But man, oh man, the Houston Texans coming up with a big win last night. Brian Hoyer went down with a concussion, and then in comes T.J. Yates, who no one knows, And he was able to really manage that game and to make sure the Texans stayed true and pulled out the dub. Really impressive stuff. And that Houston Texans defense, man, were they outstanding or what? J.J. Watt and that defensive line, my goodness, they put a lot of pressure on Andy Dalton, and he seemed flustered in the pocket on numerous occasions. Congratulations to the Houston Texans, though, in a division. I tell you what, the AFC South right now, oh my goodness. It's sad looking at the teams in, you know, in the AFC South and how they have performed. But I couldn't believe it when, you know, the announcers, you know, Mike Tirico and John Gruden, they're up in the booth and they say, yeah, with this win, the Texans are now tied for first place in their division. That blows my mind because the Texans have had a rough year, a really rough year. And looking at how they started this season, I was sitting there saying to myself, maybe they have the HBO Hard Knocks curse, because it seems like every year that HBO does that incredible docuseries on a NFL team in training camp, that team goes on to have a horrible year. And it looks like it was going to set up like that for the Houston Texans, who I believe has a lot of talent on that team. But they're 4-5, they're under 500, and every team in the AFC South right now is under 500. The Texans are right now tied with the also horrid Indianapolis Colts in that division for first place. Are you kidding me? That's crazy stuff. But mad props, though, to J.J. Watt, who I'm a big fan of. And I truly believe that when J.J. Watt, when his career is said and done, I do think J.J. Watt may be the best defensive lineman we have ever seen in the history of the National Football League. He is that good. My eyes really open to his talent when watching him on that HBO docuseries, which, of course, followed the Texans throughout training camp. And you got to really see his work ethic, the time and energy that he puts into preparing for an NFL year. You got to see his leadership abilities. I mean, he is absolutely unbelievable. And he's a great personality off the field as well. I mean, he does not shy away from the fans. He's always signing autographs and engaging with the fan base. And interesting story in which he told the SportsCenter crew who covered the game afterwards as they continued their post-game interviews. He chatted with guys like Ray Lewis and Steve Young and those guys. And he had an interesting story in which before they began that game against the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, he sat in the stadium by himself for about an hour and just looked around to sort of, he used the words, get perspective, because for a lot of NFL players and a lot of people just on their high horse who are automatically thrust into superstardom like J.J. Watt is, I mean, you can lose perspective. You can kind of get on that high horse. Your head gets a little big. And he did that to just keep in perspective that what he does for a living is a privilege. There are a ton of people that wish they could play a game and get paid millions and millions of dollars for it. But I just thought that was a kind of a cool story. I mean, J.J. Watt, he's so down to earth. I'm a big fan of his. But you know what? He's catching a lot of flack based on that soundbite you just heard. And again, I watched the post-game, you know, interview. I stood there, you know, in front of my TV for about 15 minutes after SVP, of course, is leading that SportsCenter crew now. And I saw the interview and I immediately applauded Watt for what he had to say, because I honestly believe that I think trash talking in sports has become a lost art, in my opinion. I mean, I like when an athlete is confident and has his team's back. And from time to time, stirs up the pot, because we all know that sports is just as much mental as it is physical. And anytime you can get in your opponent's head by talking a little bit of trash, hey, I see nothing wrong with it. But a lot of people felt as though J.J. Watt shouldn't have made those comments. Actually, Andy Dalton, when he heard that J.J. Watt, you know, called, you know, that comment about him turning, you know, we wanted to turn the red rifle into a Red Ryder BB gun. First off, that is incredibly clever. If you're going to trash talk, you got to do it right. And that's an incredibly clever line that I have to applaud J.J. Watt for dishing out, okay? But when Andy Dalton heard about that comment, he went to his presser and said, oh, you know, I thought he had more class than that. You know, it really hurts me seeing a guy of his caliber, you know, stooping that low. I'm like, come on, dude. This is sports. I feel like, you know, and I wasn't born in the 80s. I was born on October 7th, 1990. But talking to my dad, my uncles, and my grandparents, I mean, they always tell stories about how the greats of the game, no matter what sport it was, back in the 80s and even 70s, going back further than that, trash talking was a regular thing. But now, I mean, with you know, the NFL, which I like to dub it, and many people like to dub it, the no fun league, I mean, you can't do anything nowadays. I mean, looking at this past weekend with the Carolina Panthers, when they got their dub, they moved to 9-0. Of course, you know, Cam Newton, quarterback for the Panthers, he was caught dancing on camera and talking a bit of trash to his opposition. And there were a lot of people that had a problem with him dancing. I'm sitting there saying to myself, really? The man is playing a game for a living. He can have fun. Why can't he have some fun while doing it? And I really loved his response in his post-game presser. He was asked about his dancing and whether or not it was a little bit too over the top. And he says, hey, if you don't want me dancing, keep me out of the end zone. Hats off to you, Cam. And hats off to you, J.J. Watt. It's okay to talk some trash and to have some fun when you play a game for a living. That's just my opinion. Folks, we've got a great show. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are going to start this thing off by talking Spartans and Buckeyes. Of course, Michigan State will take on the Buckeyes on the road in Columbus, Ohio at the Shoe, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. All eyes will be watching this game. This is by far the biggest game in college football this weekend because it has so many implications. If Ohio State beats the Spartans, they sort of validate where they are this year and validate that they do deserve a spot in the college football playoff, at least right now. If the Spartans win, I think it will be very hard-pressed for the committee not to look at that dub and put the Spartans in the college football playoff. It will be very, very hard. So, hey, you know, D'Antonio said, I was at Spartan Stadium today and listened to Coach D, you know, to hear what he had to say concerning his team and playing in Ohio. And there were a few things that stood out. And, of course, and I made this statement yesterday, folks. I made this statement yesterday. Of course, Coach D was going to get the question at today's presser, what is the status of Connor Cook's health right now? And I said it yesterday. Coach D is going to give you a cliche answer and then say, hey, we don't talk about injuries here. And here's what he had to say.
Mark, you had a chance to see Connor throw much this week. How are you handling kind of
my Yeah, we don't talk injury? About injuries, and today's our first practice. So,
are you still at a 9.5 out of 10?
I'm at a 9.5.
There we go. No news there. We knew what was coming. Coach D'Antonio does not talk about injuries. It doesn't matter what position it is, let alone the quarterback. He's not going to give Ohio State that bulletin board material. He's not going to give them that update. He's trying to keep them on their heels when looking at this matchup on Saturday. So it's no surprise that Coach D'Antonio took that podium. He even cut off the question that was being asked and said, hey, you know, I know where you're going. Stop it right there. We don't talk about injuries. We haven't even practiced yet. Today will be the first day. There is no update on Connor Cook. We knew what Coach D was going to say. And we all know that's the big storyline. Now, I had to dip out of that presser early. The presser for Coach D'Antonio ended around noon. And I had to get over here and start prepping for the show. But I was keeping very close attention to what the players had to say. Because after Coach D left, players like, you know, Connor Cook and Shalik Calhoun and others, they entered, they took the podium, and then they fielded questions from the media. And I'm seeing here on Joe Rexroad's Twitter page, and this really caught my eye. Joe Rexroad, of course, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Bob Wojnarowski of the Detroit News, he asked Connor Cook about his injury being a reason, possibly, as to why Ohio State is so highly favored this weekend. Michigan State right now, when you look at the Vegas line, they are a 13-point underdog for this weekend. So, again, Wojo, he decides to ask Cook, hey, is your injury the reason why you guys are such underdogs in this game? Cook did not like the question, according to Joe Rexroad's Twitter page. Cook went on to say, quote, I really care less for that whole question. How great is that, right? So Cook, and looking at also Joe's tweets here, Cook said he's ready to go. That he there's nothing wrong with him. He'll be A-OK. Of course, he's going to say that. Cook adds, quote, my shoulder is good. I'm going to be ready to go. There's no issue with that. So we all pretty much knew what Cook and Coach D was going to say this Saturday. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, because this is an intriguing storyline. This is, for Michigan State at least, the storyline going into this weekend's matchup, because it all rests on Cook's shoulder, to be honest here. If you have a healthy Connor Cook, Michigan State's chances are tremendously good at beating the Ohio State Buckeyes and competing, I should say. Isaac, what do you think about what Coach D and Cook had to say in today's presser?
Yeah, certainly interesting. No conflict there of statements. I'm sure Coach D, the first thing he did after watching the nightly news was go over and say, listen, we need to get a story straight. Now, also reading on Joe Rexford's Twitter, Mark D'Antonio expects Connor Cook to play well at Ohio State. Not just to play, but to play well. Just like we all do, we expect him to be back. Now, a big question is whether he'll be 100% or 80%. Because, like that question addressed, if Connor Cook is not 100% healthy, that takes a big toll on Michigan State, because they're going to need to match Ohio State's point totals. Ohio State hasn't scored under 28 points since the game against Northern Illinois. So Michigan State's offense is going to need to be in full force. But overall, I think the press conference seemed generic enough. It seemed pretty standard answers. Another takeaway is Joel Heath is back. That's right. A big gain for the Spartan defensive line. Malik McDowell's been playing so well recently, single-handedly. You mentioned the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, but he also needs some help, especially against Ohio State's fantastic running game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I also want to bring up. I had written down here as far as my takeaways from that presser this morning. Again, he wouldn't give an update really on Cook. He just says, hey, he'll be ready. And then, of course, having a healthy front seven for Michigan State. Right now, looking at the depth chart as of today, November 17th, this is what the Spartan defense looks like. Up front, Shalique Calhoun, Joel Heath, Malik McDowell, Lawrence Thomas. Then you have the linebacker core, Darian Harris, Riley Bulla, John Reschke. Then you look at the cornerbacks, Darian Hicks. You have Demetrius Cox, Monte Nicholson, Arjun Calhoun. So right now, that's what the defense looks like. And so having a healthy front seven is big. Having Joel Heath back is big for this team. I know one of our callers, Ray from Indiana, he called in and was wondering about what that line looks like. As far as on the offense, this is what the starting offense looks like. Aaron Burbridge, Jack Conklin, Benny McGowan. Then you have at center Jack Allen, Donovan Clark, Cody Keeler, Josiah Price at tight end, McGarrett King, Shelton Cook, Trevin Pendleton. And then you have at the tailback position, of course, Gerald Holmes getting that start. LJ Scott, Madre London, and Dalton Williams is listed last on as far as that's concerned. So right now, Michigan State, looking at the depth chart, they're pretty healthy. And that's good. That is tremendously well. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. It's my man Austin from Indiana. Austin, long time no here, brother.
Kyle Martin, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How's everything out in Indiana, man?
It's going great, man. Job is going well. Spartans winning. Talking a lot of trash to all these Indiana people. So it's going good, man. It's going good.
Yeah, if a lot of people don't know, actually, Austin and I, we're good friends. We went to college together, man, and now life is hitting both of us. We're in our careers now. But congrats. I'm glad things are well out there in Indy. What you want to talk about today, Austin?
So before I start, going back to your trash talking point, I love trash talk. You know, for the past 5 years, we've been knowing each other. Our relationship, our friendship is based on trash talk.
It is. It always has been.
Yeah, so you know I'm all for trash talk. I don't see anything wrong with it. It makes the game exciting. As long as you don't cross any boundaries, it makes the game exciting, man. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's good to see the Texans doing well. They were my fantasy defense at the beginning of the year. They had a couple negative point games. I had to cut them, but, you know, glad to see them doing well.
Right.
But getting into my main points, man, one thing that I really hope Coach D'Antonio draws inspiration from, and I'm sure he's already alluded to this point in practice and meetings and stuff, is Spartan representation on Monday Night Football. I mean, you had Keith Mumphrey doing an amazing job returning kicks for the Texans. You had Darquez Denard making some huge plays. Brian Hoyer played a good first half. And then you got Max Bulow on the Texans roster. And those, aside from Brian Hoyer, the other three are all Spartans who won a Rose Bowl, who had success at Michigan State. And so just kind of looking in the future, I really hope the team draws inspiration from that and see if we do what we have to do at this level, just imagine where we could be. Because Max Bulow, Darquez Denard, and Keith Mumford did it, so we can do it. And I'm really happy with how our secondary looked in that fourth quarter with those interceptions that made. They made some good pass breakups, just especially coming off from last week where 36, I can't think of his last name right now, could have had that interception in the end zone to close the game out against Nebraska that he dropped. But the secondary came back, had a couple laps, we made some huge plays, man. So I'm actually looking forward to this Saturday, man. And I got a good feeling. I got a good feeling that D'Antonio is going to get something out of this Spartan football team that we have not seen all season. And they're going to play the best game of their lives. I totally feel that way.
Yeah, and that number 36 you're talking about is, of course, Arjun Calhoun, Austin. But, yeah, I mean, and I think when you look at how many Spartans right now are doing their thing at the next level in the NFL, and D'Antonio did touch upon this aspect of that conversation from a recruiting standpoint, you got to believe that when recruits are coming to play for Michigan State football, they're looking at the success rate of players who are in the NFL and how many players are Spartans in the NFL. So I can only imagine what a young kid who is making his decision to play football here, I can only imagine what's going through their mind when they look at the amount of MSU jerseys or former jerseys that are now playing in the NFL, Austin.
Exactly. So like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to this weekend. And if you go into the game, like I've been telling you since you started this job, if you ever need anybody to record videotape for you on the sideline, I can send you some audition tapes, man. Just let me know.
Right,
and I
right.
got you. Yeah. You don't even have to pay for nothing. I'll pay for all my stuff. Just give me the sideline pass and we're good.
Look at that. Austin offering free labor. He's trying to
He's
take
trying
the job.
He's trying to take my job.
He's trying to take
Austin,
the job,
what?
Isaac.
I thought we were cool, man.
I'm Isaac, we are cool, man, but, you know, I feel like I've known Al longer. So, you know, age before beauty. I mean, I got age and beauty, but, you know.
I thought our time together was a little more quality than that. Quality over quantity, right?
Oh, boy.
There you go. You got it, man.
That's
Yeah, you guys enjoy the rest of the show and go green, man.
All right, hey, thanks a lot. Always a great call from Austin. But, yeah, I mean, Austin, he was a good friend of mine in college. Still is a great friend of mine, man. And, yeah, that it's very true that Austin and I, we used to play basketball a lot with each other, and our trash talk game used to be off the rails. I mean, my trash talk game is pretty up there, but when him and I would get on the court, I mean, it would go to another stratosphere. But Austin, always a great call. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. Later on in the hour, we'll be bringing you Top 5 Tuesday and listing the top five things that the Michigan State football team must do in order to pull out a dub in Columbus, Ohio this weekend. If you want to add to that list, call in. Again, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with a man who is the head of a high school football team that is still in the running to possibly hoist up a state championship. His name is Terry Hesbrook, and he is the head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back, beautiful people. Again, you are listening to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, this is going to be a fun weekend, not just because the Spartans will be taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes this Saturday afternoon. A lot of implications when looking at the result of that matchup, but also because, yes, we enter into another week filled with high school football postseason action. How cool is that, right? Now, of course, we do have a few local teams that are still in the running to make it to Ford Field and possibly hoist up a state championship trophy. Those teams being Grand Ledge, who sits at 12-0 right now. They will take on Romeo, who is 11-1. That's in Division I. Then you move to Division V. You have Lansing Catholic sitting at 11-1 on the year. They will take on Grand Rapids West Catholic, who is 10-2. And then we move to Division VII. You have Detroit Loyola that has looked, oh man, they look like a powerhouse right now. But they will take on PW, which sits at 12-0. Detroit Loyola is 10-2 on the season. And last but certainly not least, in Division VI, you have Traverse City St. Francis at 12-0 taking on the powerhouse that is the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, who is also 12-0 on the year. Fun stuff. I cannot wait for it. And Isaac, you know, speaking of Ithaca here, you were actually at that Ithaca and Langsburg game last week on Friday night, a 34-10 win over the Wolfpack for the Yellow Jackets. What did you see in that game before we get to our guest?
Yeah, Ithaca, you know, by all accounts, I heard going into the game that they were just really a powerhouse, a team that won efficiently, won with authority, and I saw exactly why. Of course, quarterback Jake Smith is breaking records all over the place. And what amazed me about Ithaca is you see so many of these good teams do it with big plays over and over again. You see athletes that overpower everybody. Ithaca is more along the lines of a solid, just balanced roster. Yes, they've got their star players, but they work so well as a team. All of their drives are so planned out. They get 8 yards a play or something like that. So Jake Smith was great. Spence Damal is one of the best receivers I've seen so far. If I'm not mistaken, Jace Deminov, the linebacker, won Jack Ebling's award for best linebacker of the year in mid-Michigan high school football. So they're just a stacked roster, and you can see why they've been so successful in years past.
Yeah, certainly. So why not we how about we get to a man who knows a thing or two about Yellow Jackets football, huh? The head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team, my man Terry Hesbrook. Always a great time when we have him on the show. Terry, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, my man. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Now, Terry, I first off want to talk about what occurred last week against Langsburg for your squad. Again, you guys, you know, got the dub, a 34-10 win, 100 yards worth of penalties in that game, 10 penalties for 100 yards, but we're still able to beat the Wolfpack. How did that turn out for you guys? How is that possible?
Well, we've been playing at a very, very high level. I'm both offensively, defensively, and special teams. You know, in the district championship against Sanford Meridian, who was undefeated at the time, you know, just went out and played lights out, both sides of the ball. We expected to do that against Langsburg, you know, to go out and play lights out, and that didn't happen. We were very sloppy, had a lot of penalties, you know, stuff that, you know, we have to make sure we get cleaned up if we want to continue in this tournament. You can't continue to make those mistakes, and you guys know that. And we had, I think, 10 penalties for 100 yards or a little over 100 yards. And Alan Isaac was there. He can attest to us. We completed a pass to the 1 yard line to Spence Damal. I believe it was the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And on that drive, we end up punting from our own 45.
Oh, wow. I remember that one. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, it's just one of them things where, you know, I've never been in that situation before. You know, like, we just had penalty after penalty. It was like, my gosh, we're killing ourselves here. But, you know, you got to credit Langsburg, too. You know, Coach Borgman had his kids ready to play, and they played hard, and you know, that's the way it should be. But we were happy to get the victory when we didn't play our best.
Hey, as long as you get the dub, right? Now, Terry, you know, speaking, you know, harping on those penalties just for a sec here, how uncharacteristic was that of your team, and how do you go about correcting that this week as you prepare for Traverse City St. Francis?
Well, we'll look at it on film, you know, and just point out to kids, you know, some mistakes that we made. Some of them were very uncharacteristic. You know, we had one of them was a, you know, Jake scrambled around for what seemed like 20 seconds, you know, again, and then he found a receiver open down the field. And, you know, when that happens, you're going to end up with what, lineman downfield, you know what I mean? And that, you know, was it a good call? Yeah, absolutely. It was a great call. One of our linemen had thought Jake had, you know, said go and take off, and you know, he did. He took off down the field to block, and Jake let one fly about 40 yards in the air. So, you know, just uncharacteristic type things. We just got to get that stuff cleaned up and play a little sharper And, you know, we had such a big game in the district championship. You know, I don't, maybe did we have a letdown? You know, possibly, you know. And but like I said, I don't want to take anything away from Laingsburg and what they did.
Now, on the other side of this conversation, Terry, I mean, you held the Wolfpack to just 8 yards on the ground, 153 through the air, but much of that came on a 60-plus yard fake punt play and a 60-plus yard pass play. How big was your defense that night?
Well, they played well all year, you know, to be honest with you. Our starting defense in the regular season didn't give up a single point in the first half of any game. And, you know, so when your defense is continuously getting the ball back for you on three and out situations, you know, you get good field position, you get short fields, you sometimes get easy drives or shorter drives, and you know, that leads to a lot of points for your offense. But they've played fantastic all year. They really have. And, you know, it's not a big surprise, Al. We were going into the season, we had 13 kids back on that defense that started at one time or another for us last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, we got a lot of experience on that defense, and you know, there's a lot of really, really good players on that side of the ball.
Without a doubt. It's certainly a luxury. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team, Terry Hesbrook. Now, Smith and Loomis both eclipsed the 100-yard rushing mark for two straight weeks, consecutive weeks here. How big have those two been for you, Terry?
Well, that's been huge. You know, the weather wasn't fantastic again Friday, and it's been by design. We've ran the ball a little more than we have in years past. You know, our passing attempts are way down from years past. Part of that was because we were without Spence Demall for a majority of our season. Part of that is because our offensive line has improved so much and they're doing such a fantastic job of run blocking. And part of that is knowing that the weather is going to change on us eventually and you got to be able to run the football. And Jonah's a load at 180, 190 pounds on a 5'8" frame and very low to the ground, very tough, got great balance. And then Jake is, you know, 170 pounds, but he's very elusive, has some of the quickest feet of any quarterback or any player I've ever coached.
Now, if you guys do get to Ford Field, of course, we know that's an indoor stadium. I guess the game plan, does that change a bit?
Well, it's always nice to be playing indoors. You know, I like to wear shorts, and we like to throw the ball around a little bit, that's for sure. It doesn't sound like the forecast in Clare is all that nice for the Saturday, though.
Gotcha. Well, it's going to be an interesting one. Again, Traverse City, St. Francis. What kind of team is St. Francis, Terry, and what are your thoughts about them jumping to Division VI for the postseason from Division VII?
Well, I wasn't that excited about it, to be honest with you. And when I saw that they jumped up into Division VI, because I know they're a tremendous football program with a fantastic history of championships and success on the field. And I think what I see when I watch film is a power running team, very smart kids. They don't make many mistakes, and they really want to pound the football at you. And, you know, that's something we're just going to have to be tough enough to stand in front of them and take them on and hopefully, you know, gang tackle their backs and get the ball back.
It's going to be a fun matchup. Now, you know, I got to ask you this, Terry, because I find it so intriguing. Now, again, we're going to have throughout the rest of the week here, folks, on our show, we're going to try to get every head coach who's still in the running for a state championship. So, of course, you know, looking at it, Lansing Catholic, Grand Ledge, of course, PW, along with Ithaca. And I'm always intrigued to dive into the mindset of you guys as coaches, because during the regular season, we all know that, Terry, you are a very meticulous coach, and that's why you've had the success that you've had at Ithaca. But does that preparation ramp up a bit to really, you know, looking at the fine details? Does your preparation just go to another level during this time of the year?
Yes, I think it does. And I think it's because of the closeness or the proximity of you know, it's win and you go to Ford Field, lose and you're done, you know, the finality of that. I think that, you know, we all want to continue playing. Every week you get on such a high as a coach that you just get so focused. We spend so much time. I got to credit our coaching staff last few weeks. They've just been fantastic. They always are, but it seems like everybody's just really intense and finding ways that we can be successful, whether it's offensively or defensively. You know, we've come up with some new design plays on offense, and you throw some different wrinkles at people.
So, you know, equating that conversation to ours here, Terry, so let's say during a regular season matchup, how many hours are you putting in preparing for that matchup as opposed to the postseason? I mean, is it like 24/7 you're constantly glued to film?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, hunting season opened up on Sunday up here. You know, well, that's a big deal, you know, around here.
And
I really enjoy hunting. I you know, it's something that I truly enjoy to go out and sit in the woods and, you know, have a chance to shoot a deer. And, well, I've hunted one half day now in the last 7 years.
Wow. That's
and I haven't even bought a license other than that 1 year. And I just, you know, you're in your basement from, you know, 8 a.m. until dark, and then you do the same thing on Sunday. And you're just trying to find something. You know, maybe we can find a weakness, and maybe you can find something you can exploit. And you watch it over and over and over, and I think all coaches do the same thing. You know, I mean, you're trying not to leave any stone unturned at this point.
Comparing that to a regular season matchup, I mean, on a regular season game, I mean, what's that like compared to now?
Well, it's just the same, other than I take time off to go to my son's football game.
See, I knew it. Terry, it never stops.
Other than that, to be honest with you, it's the same.
Your engine never stops.
Jim taught us that. You know, Jim Ahern taught us that you know, you got to do those things. And I always said, I'll never be that guy. You know, I'll never be Jim Ahern when I watched him, you know, do all those things when I played for him. And then when I, you know, coached with him, I said, I'm never going to be that guy. And now my wife and kids take off and go do things on the weekends, and I stay in the basement.
Oh, my goodness. How hilarious is that, right, folks? Again, if you're just now joining us here, Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team. Now, speaking of Jim Ahern, of course, we all know about the history between you two. You and Jim, still being alive in the postseason run, what have your conversations been like with him during this time, if at all?
We got a chance last summer to coach that Team Michigan together, and that was great because Jim really helped us. To be honest with you, we're using some of those wrinkles that he shared with us that we used against Team Ohio, and we're using those now with our Ithaca team. But we talk on a regular basis, almost daily, whether through text or email, just about, you know, what does it look like this week? What do you think they're going to do? What do you think you got to do? You know, those just those type of things, wishing them the best of luck. And you know, they pulled one out, it sounds like he said last week, and they've got that familiar foe of West Catholic this week, so we're certainly rooting for him.
Yeah, certainly an unbelievably entertaining game as Lansing Catholic edged out Freehand 25-21 last week. And I got to know this, Terry, because I tease Jim about this all the time. When I see him on the sidelines, I mean, him and his assistant coaching staff, they always have a victory sucker. That's what they dub it out there every single game. It's a superstition of Jim's. Yeah. Do the Yellow Jackets have any superstitions? Are you a superstitious guy, Terry?
I'm a very superstitious guy. I don't know how many I can share on air.
That's a great answer.
I'm not a sucker guy. Now, we got guys on our staff that go through the suckers, you know, the bags of suckers and stuff, and I think that's something that Coach Ahern passed on, but I'm not a sucker guy. I'm afraid that I'd bite right down on one and break a tooth or something. So.
Right. You may be taking a trip to the dentist, right? Right,
exactly.
Dear?
Exactly.
Oh, boy, that's great stuff. All right, now I have to ask this question. Again, the 69 consecutive game winning streak, it was snapped in the state finals last year to Monroe St. Mary Catholic Central. How much has that moment motivated you this year, Terry?
I think it's not only motivated us as coaches, but I think it's motivated our team since it happened. You know, we got right back to work in December. Our kids that were returning that were going to be seniors on this year's team, cut out all the newspaper articles, posted them around the weight room. And I think that they continue to, you know, feed off from that. The hunger is certainly continuing to increase each week as you get closer.
Right. Well, did he cut out on us, Isaac?
Nope, he's still there.
Oh, we're still here.
Yeah. I was just saying that the hunger continues to increase. I think each week, you know, the players, you're getting closer and closer to that ultimate prize. And I think that, you know, you can see it now. You can almost reach out and touch it, and now you just got to complete the deal.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Well, I tell you what, on behalf of us all here at WKR's Current Sports, we wish you luck this weekend. Again, Traverse City St. Francis takes on the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. Both teams are 12-0. Terry, good luck to you, my man, and thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Al. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will bring you Top 5 Tuesday and list the top five things that must happen in order for the Spartans to top the Buckeyes this weekend. We'll also talk about the Lions beating the Packers for the first time since 1991. All of that, as well as take your calls. Call in 517-355-9527. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Floyd Mayweather Jr. has come to Ronda Rousey's defense. Of course, Ronda Rousey, she was beat during the second round knockout at the hands of Holly Holm out in Australia. The first time that Ronda Rousey has taken a loss in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And Floyd Mayweather Jr., we all know about the beef that Mayweather has had with Rousey in the past, but he's coming to Rousey's defense. He had this to say, quote, "I don't think it's cool how everyone is trolling her on social media. Certain things you have to learn. People will love you on Friday, and then Sunday morning, it's nothing but negative comments and people making jokes and people making fun about you, which I don't think is cool. I've never been on the other side, so I don't know how it feels. I'm pretty sure she's a very, very strong person, but we still have to take into consideration that she has feelings." You know what? I don't usually do this, but a round of applause for Floyd Mayweather. I never do this. I never applaud the guy because I just think he's one of the most arrogant individuals in all of sports, and his fights were so boring. He made me waste countless dimes and pennies on his fights over the years after boring match after boring match. But that right there, that's pretty, I tip my cap to him. That's very classy of Floyd Mayweather Jr. to come to the defense of a fighter who really has put a spotlight on not just UFC, but fighting in general, has become arguably the face of fighting in today's modern sports world. And for Floyd to come out and say, hey, I don't think it's cool how everybody's making fun of her on social media. I know that when the knockout occurred that Saturday night, I went on Instagram and immediately I saw a bunch of memes of Ronda on the ground. I saw the picture posted of the kick to the face that really sealed the deal in that fight. That was constantly posted with jokes left and right on social media. For Floyd to come out and say this, and to come to Ronda's defense, I think he's more so relating to her from a fighter to another fighter that, hey, this isn't cool. It needs to stop. And people need to take consideration that, hey, she has feelings, man. You know, I can only imagine what it's like to be Ronda Rousey when you're this highly touted athlete, how everyone expects you to win. And then the moment you're not on your P's and Q's and you get knocked out, the entire world switches against you. Again, they love you on Friday, and then Sunday morning, it's an entirely different story. I think that was eloquently put by Floyd Mayweather, and I have to applaud the man for his comments.
Oh, you certainly do. First off, I have to just take a little stab at Floyd Mayweather because I hate giving the guy 100% credit. That was great. But, of course, Floyd's going to come to her defense. You know Floyd wouldn't go on the offense, as proven by that Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Just a little joke. But no.
If we need to get our buttons going because you definitely could have done a snare hit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I haven't got the chance to download one of those just yet. I do need to. But anyway, no, really, that is very laudable by Floyd. And I saw him say also another thing is in our sport, more than any other sport, you win some, you lose some. Mm-hmm. And Floyd has not lost as a professional boxer. However, when he was an Olympic boxer
back in the 90s, he won that fight.
He might have won it, but he lost on the scorecard.
Yeah, but it won't count to his professional career. Everybody talks about that fight. I don't know if you saw At Last. It's a documentary done by HBO. HBO does fantastic sports documentaries, but they profiled that the Pacquiao and Mayweather matchup. Okay. At Last, it's about to happen. That's basically what it was titled. And they showed that fight. Everyone knows. Stevie Wonder knows that Floyd Mayweather won that fight. But it's still a loss, but he knows what it's like to lose.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying Floyd Mayweather, he, in the Olympics, when he fought in that, he did lose a fight very closely contested. Again, that was one that was up for consideration as well.
I don't think he lost that fight.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think that he completely dominated that fight. He might have,
but on the scoring card, it favored the other guy.
The scoring was totally – we all know how fickle boxing is sometimes.
Of course.
I mean, look at the Timothy Bradley fight. You know what I mean? I mean, how many times have we seen a boxer clearly win a matchup and then the judges just don't know what they're looking at and they judge it another way?
Everybody knows what they're looking at. I think they want the money going a certain way sometimes.
Right. Actually, one of those judges – who ruled in favor of I don't know, the opposition, he's in that documentary, and he says, yeah, we totally blew that. He admits that he screwed up.
And I agree. I agree that he did. At the same time, though, just quick side note, that other boxer that he lost to, there's a great feature on him on the New York Times website about what he's been doing. And, gosh, his life didn't turn out half as glamorous.
Wow, what is he doing? Really quickly, what is he doing?
He's, I believe, Kazakhstani or from Azerbaijan or one of those more eastern countries. And he is right now living there, struggling to get by, taking care of his parents. It was one of the most intriguing features I've seen. But after that win, professional sponsors approached him and said, hey, you want to come to us? He said, nope, I'm good. They went right on down to Floyd Mayweather. And then look at 15 years in the future, what happened with Floyd. So who knows? That could have been him if he lost. Mm-hmm. But he won. So Sometimes all the laurels don't go to the winner. But no, hats off to Floyd, though, for recognizing Rousey, because we also do know Rousey's been more than a little bit hard on Floyd, and maybe deservedly so, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But even so, good job by Floyd being the bigger man this time around and stepping up.
Yeah, definitely. We all know Ronda isn't too privy of Floyd because of his history with domestic violence as well. That's a whole nother conversation. All right, under 10 minutes left here. Let's go into Top 5 Tuesday. What are the top five things that Michigan State must do in order to pull out a dub over the Buckeyes this weekend? Here we go. Top 5 Tuesday, folks. So what are the top 5 things that the Spartans must do in order to pull out a victory against Ohio State this Saturday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. in Buckeye territory? For number one for me, you got to make OSU pass the football, I think, Isaac. I think it's really no secret that the Ohio State Buckeyes have been a run-heavy team this year. Ezekiel Elliott, I really think that Heisman talks need to ramp up more with him because he is one fantastic back. I remember watching him last year during that Michigan State football game and watching him just last season in general. I mean, he is a juggernaut. You gotta make JT Barrett use his arm to beat Michigan State. And I think the secondary, if you're the Spartans, knowing how your secondary has played this year, which hasn't been up to par, which hasn't been that great, they are coming off a game in which that secondary was the reason why they won the game. I mean, guys like Riley Bulla, Arjun Calhoun, we saw Monte Nichols, and all three of those players corralling interceptions, one of which was a 44-yard pick six at the hands of Riley Bulla. They are getting better week to week to week, and I think that when you look at guys like JT Barrett and even Cardale Jones, they will burn you with their feet when it counts, point blank, period. They are guys that you know, and we all know how Urban Meyer likes to run that system when it comes to his quarterbacks. It's not just a quarterback sitting in the pocket and just delivering throws down the field. When need be, you will see a few options here and there, and Michigan State has to be on its P's and Q's when stopping that. 60% of the Buckeyes' touchdowns have been on the ground this year, and they've ran the ball on 72% of their plays. The front seven for MSU, which does get Joel Heath back this week, has to play outstanding. That's my number one.
Well, and moreover for me, it's exactly the same. My number five right now is stop the run. We see Ezekiel Elliott averaging 142.5 yards a game, even more frightening for the Spartans. Last time against MSU, the combination of Barrett and Elliott had 240 total yards. 240. That wasn't even all the rushing yards on the day, but you cannot let all of that slip through this team. If they rush for 240 yards, they win the game because that passing offense is no slouch either. Then number four for me is don't mess up in special teams. We've seen Michael Geiger play better recently. That fake field goal that was botched last week was of no fault of his own. Jake Hartbarger's been punting lights out. That punt against Nebraska, which pinned them at their own 4-yard line with just a minute and a half to go, that was fantastic. The Spartans need similar special teams play as of late.
Yeah, number two, which you're going 5-1. I'm going just top five things. Number two for me, run the ball. Michigan State has to run the ball better. I think that the emergence of Gerald Holmes in the past couple weeks as the number one guy in the backfield, you got to have Gerald Holmes getting the football. You got to have that offensive line opening up holes for him to run through, because I think that with us not knowing the status of Connor Cook's injury, you have to have more so, you have to harp on balance more so than anything, because it's not a guarantee that Connor Cook is going to go in Ohio State territory and just light it up down the field. So that's my number two, Isaac.
Number three for me, Devin Smith and Michael Thomas last year torched the Spartans in the passing game and the receiving games. Devin Smith had a 44-yard reception. Michael Thomas had a 79-yard one. So although it's so important to stop the run, I think you've got to rely on your front seven to do that. I don't think you can ask the safeties and the corners to play tighter, because if you get burnt in the pass game, that's just as detrimental. That's just as much of a hindrance on the Spartan defense.
Three for me is load the box. I think that if Michigan State load the box and put pressure and make that backfield uncomfortable, you got to get, because watching these past few weeks with Ohio State and their offense and their quarterback play, I really think that at times JT Barrett makes sporadic decisions when he is pressured in the backfield, and we've seen him act sporadically, you know, and it's not led to great drives for OSU. I really think if Michigan State from time to time lowers that box and puts tremendous pressure on JT Barrett and forces him to challenge that secondary, Michigan State is going to have an edge when it comes to that defense intimidating the offense in some way, shape, or form. So I think Michigan State has to load the box.
All right, we'll agree to disagree on that one. But number two for me, the Spartans have to be the ones making big plays. We've seen they've got the weapons. We've seen McGarrett Kings and we've seen Aaron Burbridge be incredible this season. But if the Spartans can't make big plays, if they're just wholesomely standard offensively, then I don't think that they can threaten Ohio State. Ohio State, I don't think you can totally stop this offense. You've got to slow them down, so you do have to match them.
Four and five for me. Four, mentally tough. You're going into a hostile environment. We all know how tough it is to play on the road in the shoe. Michigan State has to be mentally tough. That's going to be big. They have to stay within their game plan. And numero uno, I don't think there's any secret here. Connor Cook, he has to play. He's got to ball out. That simple as that. Connor Cook has to lead that offense and put that injury talk aside, which I think he is doing already when it comes to his press conferences, at least. Connor Cook has to be at least 80-90% for Michigan State to win this game.
I agree. I think Connor Cook, that's my number one, needs to take the game over. I don't think you can afford to force the run with Joey Bosa and Adolphus Washington on that front line. I think it'll be too difficult. Let Connor air it out.
Tomorrow, folks, we will highlight the Lions beating the Packers the first time since 1991. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Terry Hesbrook for joining me. As always, folks, take care, have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.